we have an intimate view into the heart of Jesus. Chapters 13 through 16. And at the end, after talking about a lot of different things that he wanted his disciples to remember, some of these things are wonderful about the love they're to have for each other, but some of them are pretty mind-boggling, the fact that people are going to kill you thinking they're offering a service to God. Now, I don't know if you'd like to be in that room and you're thinking, wow, things have been going great. And he goes, you know what, some of you are going to die and the people that kill you are going to think they're offering a service to God. That's going to be a real mind twister. Unless you remember that I had said that. And he closes this whole discourse with this statement in verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. A couple of years ago, I think while I was speaking with you, I used an illustration, and I want to use it again. Two paintings. In one painting, there's this beautiful, serene lake. It's just, there's not a ripple. It reflects the sky and the clear blue sky and all these trees and vegetation. And it's just one of these scenes that just makes you feel at rest. And that artist painted this and he entitled it Peace, because in the lower right-hand corner was a bird singing amidst all of this. And the title is Peace. Right next to it, he had painted another painting. It was the same area, but this time it was a storm. And the sky was black. There was lightning, rain going horizontal, waves on this lake, trees bending. And that little bird was still in the right-hand corner singing. And the title of that painting was Real Peace. Jesus said a lot of things are going to happen. He goes, I want you to know something. In the world, you will have trouble, period. There is going to be disease, sickness, war, famine, murder, injustice, period. The day that that ceases is the day he has come back and judgment day is here. And then all that ceases. Amen. Will be no more. But until then, you will have trouble in this world. But what does he say? Okay, well then just give up, quit. No. He says, in me, you will have peace. And we're not talking about the peace of the first painting. We're talking about the peace of the second painting. If you can sing in the midst of a storm, you are experiencing something that Jesus brought. If you need everything to go your way and right till you experience peace, then you are humanistic. It's all based on you, and it's a kind of a luck of the spin, right? Roll of the die. Christ came to give us life and give us peace. I'm not a political person. And I don't say that in a, I don't know that much about it. I read things, I hear what this party stands for, that party stands for. I see people in both parties that are inconsistent with what they say their party stands for. Coming up with economic policies, I'm the last person to give advice on economic. I balance my checkbook and I'm feeling good, okay? I can't imagine trying to help a community, a city, a country, or whatever. I mean, go for it. But I don't think it's any stretch of the imagination to say that we are living in very fractured times right now. Here in the United States, there are things that are ongoing. Every time you turn on the news, something seems to have happened. And unfortunately, something seems to have happened specifically to young black males, young African Americans, sometimes at the hands of law enforcement. And so you go, what is going on? That's not right. It's unjust. And then you turn on the TV and you have Dallas, five Caucasian white policemen shut gunned down. And you say, that's not right, that's not, and, you know, and you have Black Lives Matter, which, yeah, absolutely, but then you have everyone going, but what about this? And then you just back up, and then you start dealing with other communities. And why is it that, you know, the Irish are having a problem with the Italian, and going on? Why is it that the rich and poor can't coexist? And on and on and on, and we're fractured. That's our community. And there's things going on, and there is injustice, inequality, and access to resources, things like that. And so, you know, we're going, wow, what's going on? And there's a poll. Whose side are you on? And I understand that. When you live in a democratic society and it is based on majority, there's always going to be, whose side are you on? And there's this push, man, say something. And I'm not qualified to soothe the ills of society, but I know someone who is. I know I can point the way. There are a lot of things I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I've never been pulled over by an officer. Never. I've been caught by an officer doing something I shouldn't have been doing, but just pulled over, no, never have. Never have. Had a friend of mine in Manhattan hailing a cab. Cabs had their lights on, didn't stop for him. He turned around and he goes, it happens all the time. I go, what? He goes, they're not going to pick me up. I go, why? He goes, look at me. I go, so what? He goes, you try it. So I stepped out, did that, almost caused a wreck. All these cabs trying to stop and pick up the white guy.
Wow.
I don't understand. That's the way it's been my whole life. So there are a lot of things I cannot relate to. But I know this, that's just not right. But our country, all this happened in our communities, the fracturing there, and then we go outside of our country. And we have people in Nice, France, just celebrating, minding their own business, children. They get mowed down by a truck. Deb and I, it's like, I can't believe it. Then we realized that our granddaughter, McKenna, is in Europe. So we call, where is McKenna? You know, all of a sudden it gets real personal at that point, you know? And they say, well, she's in Italy, but her next stop is Nice. It's like, then we're starting to think, well, that's probably the safest city in the world right now. But it's like, who could have imagined that? What do you say to a parent whose child has been mangled by a truck? That you try and find, is there a reason for this? No, there's not. So what do we do now? My goodness, you know, if someone's a Muslim, let's not let them in the U.S. because of their Muslim. I mean, and all of that. And choose a side. Choose a side. You know what? I don't have all of these answers. But I do know this. In Him, we can have peace. Now, that's not a cop-out. That's not a retreat. Whoever you vote for, you vote for. You go and do that. But I do want to challenge you today that you and I need to be Christians. We need to be followers of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We don't need to be forced into any camp, anything, situation. We will seek justice, but I'm going to talk about that in a second. But bottom line, let's go back to the basis right here. Where do we spring from and how we're trying to decide and be part of the solution? Where do I begin? I begin with who I'm going to be. And I begin with some very core beliefs. And that belief is, in Him, there is peace. The storm rages, but I can still sing. In Him, there is peace. And there's not only peace for me, but there's peace for others. That's the belief I have. Number one, in Him, there is peace. Because He is power. Look at John, the 15th chapter. John 15. Jesus talking to His disciples. And He says in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Being a Christian is an experience. People say, well, it's a relationship. Well, yeah, it is, but it's an experience. It's an experience with the living Christ who lives in us. And he is the power to become everything that he's talking about. How can you forgive someone that commits an atrocity? I can't do it on my own power. Christ can do it through me. He can give me the power. How can you sit there and not just give over to rage and anger and injustice? How do you learn how to stand for what's just but not want vengeance? I can't do that. Christ can do that through me. You know, brothers and sisters, the first thing we got to understand, you want that peace in him? You got to have a prayer life that is connected to him.
Yep.
Apart from him, you can do nothing. Everything that he's talking about that the early Christians went through, they are going, some of them will be martyred by people offering a service to God. This isn't just the atheist, I want to kill a Christian. No, this is about, as glory to God, we're going to kill this guy. Do you know what? Stephen had a vision of Christ. It didn't stop the rocks from raining on his head. So how in the world did he get through that? Apart from Christ, you can do nothing. Where do we find the strength and the courage to go on? Where do we find the vision when everything's coming apart? We find it in him. He gives it to us, but we've got to stay connected. We have got to pray. We've got to open our hearts, and we've got to confess our sins. We've got to cleanse ourselves. Let me talk about two areas to pray about. I mean, you pray about everything, but two specifically that helped me in getting through these times. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at this. Look what Paul said. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. For kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. You know what? I am to pray for all in authority. All kings, all anyone in authority. I'm to pray for them. Do you realize who the early Christians had to pray for? Go read a history of some of the local kings. Read a history of the Roman emperors. Some of these guys were bloodthirsty lunatics. And they were said, you pray for them. Now, why do you pray for them? That you can have a perfect life in and of yourself? Or do you pray for them, like Paul says, that we may give them policies, motions that will live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Why? So that others may be saved. That is the point. God wants all men to be saved. That is part of what we pray for. I don't agree with every elected official. I didn't vote for every elected official we have. Now, I've never had a time where I voted for every single person that's in Congress or the White House or the whatever. Sometimes, hey, I voted, the person gets it. Sometimes they don't. So what? They all deserve my prayer. But I disagree with that. Okay, great. You don't have to agree, but pray that God will open their hearts, that we can live quiet lives, that somehow the gospel can spread. We've got to pray. So often we react in times of turmoil, no one stops and prays. We can pray for the dispossessed, but do we pray for the dispossessor? Our prayers have got to be for everybody, because that's who God came for. You don't compromise what you believe. You don't have to agree with everyone at all. In fact, you can staunchly say, hey, I'm going to obey God, not man, and come what may. And do that. But you pray. And tell you the truth, guys, I can't do that except in Christ. He's the one who gives me the heart. The other thing we've got to pray about in Matthew 5, and again, I'm just limiting it to two here, something for us to consider in this day and age. Matthew 5. Verse 43, you heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. There's another interesting historical study. Do a study of utopian societies, the history of utopian societies, when people came together and said, we're going to build a perfect community. None of them exist today. You know why? It was a great thought. It was a great heart. But it was made up of sinful people. And so it did not last. The Beatles sang, all you need is love. You're absolutely true. The problem is, I can't love. I can love those people I like, but I can't love those people that are against me. So what do? I pray. I want to be like my Father in heaven. I want to love my enemies. Anybody can love their mama and their papa or their brother and their sister. Wow. Well, maybe for some, that's a, you know, medal of honor thing. Okay. I'll grant you that. Okay. There were times I'm sure my brother thought it's going to be hard to love Sheridan. I understand that, all right? But I'm talking about, what is it? Jesus came to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. And that is change the human heart. Apart from him, love my enemy. It's not talking about the type of love where, oh, you're just awesome. Thank you for being so cruel, brutal, and unjust. No, that's not agape love. The word that's used, it is willing the highest good. That's why Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Was he thinking, hey, I just love these Roman soldiers. They just nailed me to a cross. Isn't that wonderful? No. What did they need in the midst of his agony? He willed the highest good for them. They needed forgiveness. They needed God. And he was here for a while. We're here for a while. And then we're forever in Christ. You know what this world needs? It does need love. But it needs agape love. It needs people that all of a sudden break out of this self-imposed, self-consumedism and wills the highest good for their fellow man. You will be a fool. You will yield. There are times people will hurt you back. But I tell you what, in Christ you will have peace. You leave this earth knowing one thing. You are part of the solution, not part of the problem. Anybody can resent, anybody can recriminate, anybody can hate, anybody can do all this. But now, love your enemies? Love those who oppose you? Oh my goodness, no way. Except in Christ. Apart from him, we can do nothing. We need to pray that way, brothers and sisters, all of us. I need help. I need that. Pray. He is our peace. In him, because he is the power. Secondly, in him we have peace because he is the authority. In John 14, let's go back, Gospel of John. John 14. Thomas is going to make a statement. Well, I'm in the wrong chapter. Excuse me a second. Here he goes. Verse 5. Thomas said to them, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. He is the authority.
The authority for what?
You fill in the blank.
He is the way, the truth, the life. You know why there's peace in him? Because what he says goes. He has perfect understanding. So when he does say things like, love your enemies, I may say, that's ridiculous, that doesn't make sense to me, but he is God. And you know what Jesus always dealt with? He didn't first start to build a perfect community. That's supposed to be the fruit. Where did he first start? Let's build a character. Let's do what they cannot do for themselves. Let's change their heart, and we will build character. You have a choice if you want to build a house. You can build a house with wood that has termites, or you can build a house wood without termites. You choose. Initially, it'll look pretty much the same in the beginning. But what happens? It starts coming apart as the seams. You know why? That's the way people are. Let's come together and do this project. So they work together for something, and then someone does something, so now it's all about revenge and all about paying back, and all of a sudden, this great idea, let's just love each other, is gone. You know why? The character was never changed.
Yeah, sure.
You built a house with termite-infested wood. You built a life with termite-infested, sin-infested character. Jesus came to address the character of men and women. Because he knew this, if you get the man and woman right, you'll get the world right. Too often, we want to get the world right without getting the men and women right. And that's where, and let me say this, guys, I am all for legislation. You need to vote for good legislation that will protect and cause justice. But let me say this also, legislation only goes so far.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
All legislation can do is contain the craziness.
Yeah.
It can keep the craziness from going over and just coming all out, chaos. That's good. But until we change the hearts of men and women, oh my goodness, the job is not done. Jesus is the authority. I have peace in him because I know as I follow him, I am living the type of life and that's going to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. And when there are things I don't want to do, Sharon, you need to forgive. No, I'm not going to forgive. Okay, who's the authority in your life? Well, you are. Okay, I guess I better forgive. And all of a sudden now we've got a base from which we can work and start reconciling. But if I'm all about trying to get even and vengeance, forget it. Forget it. Until I feel like I can get to the point where, man, I have faced down my enemies and won. But at that point, you've lost everything.
Yeah.
In him we have peace because he is the authority. Thirdly, in him we have peace because he is the judge. Look at this. John 5th chapter. John 5. Verse 24. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, the time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Jesus is the judge. At the end of time, God will place all judgment in Jesus' hand. And that's perfect judgment. You know, if it was just God the Father, we could say, well, you don't know what it's like to be human in a fallen world. But see, it's Jesus. Jesus does know what it's like to be human in a fallen world. And because he knows that, he knows what we need and what to give us in order to be who we need to be in a fallen world. Now, here's the thing. Injustice is always going to be here until Jesus comes back. But what does that mean? Do we just accept it? No, you don't accept it. But here's what I want us to challenge us to think about. You need to stand up against injustice wherever you see it. In your neighborhood, in your school, in your community, wherever. Don't you go along. Don't you be partners with it.
Right.
But I want to challenge our motivation of why we do that. Am I going to stand up for injustice so I can build the perfect utopian community? Like I said, you're going to go down in flames from that one. Or am I going to stand up for justice because God is just?
Yeah. Mm.
Because that's His character. Because that's the way He is, and I want to follow Christ. That's the way Jesus is. So I'm interested in that. So wherever there's injustice, I'm interested in doing it, but probably for a different reason. I do want there to be good communities people can live in, but I know that there is termite-infested wood in which we're building that. So I want us to deal with the real issue. And so what I want is my character to reflect God's character and be just because God is just. Let me tell you something. Evil doesn't win.
Amen.
I was born into a world that had injustice. And if the Lord doesn't come back again, I'm going to die in a world that has injustice. We need to keep trying to fix everything we can fix, but you don't ever lose hope. And you realize this, one day it all comes out in the wash.
Right.
One day. Let me use another example. Without God, all we have is ourselves, right? Our understanding. And here's the example I use oftentimes to talk about the futility of trying to, you know, be the source of justice. Good friend of mine, Sherwin McIntosh, many of you all saw Upside Down. He composed that whole thing. One time, I almost slammed his fingers in the car door. Okay, he pulled them out just in time as I had slammed the door. Now, let's say he hadn't pulled them out. Would have shattered all of his fingers. Would have had to do major surgery. Would have impaired him from putting together the music and performing. So what would be the just thing to do? Well, shatter my fingers in return, right? Eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. So, stick my fingers, slam the door. What's that going to do to me? I'll scream my full head off, but besides that, it doesn't do a thing to my livelihood. I'm not a musician. I'm not a pianist. So that's not really justice. If anything, well, Sharon, what about your handwriting? My handwriting is so lousy, it'd probably be an improvement, you know? It's still not just. Because I have not been hurt the way he has been hurt. Oh my goodness. When you live your whole life thinking that you're the source of justice and that you have it all understood, guess what? Pretty soon, what'll happen, Sherwin does that to me and I think, you know, but there's something else. I don't like being insulted like that, so let me do something to him just to even it up. And all of a sudden it goes back and forth, back and forth.
No peace.
It all comes out with Christ. Every single thing. There will be no attorneys on the day of judgment. You know why we need attorneys? We need it because we're fallen people and nobody knows everything. We don't have that divine insight. So we need attorneys and judges for society to function smoothly. That's why they've got to represent us against the law to the best of their ability. But it's not like everyone knows everything about it, right? You're dealing with imperfect people. On the day of judgment, no attorneys, one judge. It all comes out. That's why I can have peace. I've got to stand for justice in the areas I can, do what I can. But I know this, in the final analysis, it doesn't depend on me. All judgment will be in Christ. And at that point, all evil, all rebellion, everything comes out. And the truth is known, and that's it. That takes a load off of me. I'm free to be part of the solution without carrying the whole weight of this absolute. If I don't fix it now, it won't be fixed. No, I give it my best shot.
That's right.
But also know, he's going to bring it to light, and evil will be
judged.
Lastly, he is our peace because he made us part of the solution. Matthew 5. Verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out, trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and give light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You know what, guys? Jesus did not choose methods. He chose men and women to go out and have an impact. You are the light of the world. He said, I am the light of the world. Now he says, you are the light. You are the salt of the earth. You are the ones to make a difference. In him, I have peace. You know why? Because he has allowed me to be part of the solution. Another illustration, little boy throwing starfish back into the ocean because thousands had washed up on the shore. A man went by to the little boy and saw him doing this and said, son, I'm afraid you're fighting a losing battle. You're never going to be able to make a difference in all of this. There's too many of them. The little boy picked up another starfish, threw it in the ocean, and said, I made a difference in that. What would happen if every single one of us took it to heart that we are the light of the world, the salt of the earth? What would happen if every single one of us decided, you know what, I don't want to be prejudicial in who I invite to church or ask. And I'm by prejudice. I think we do a good job being diverse, but you know, sometimes they're challenging people. I don't know if I want to, or maybe, you know, angry. Give an invitation, who knows? See, Jesus is saying the solution is a renewed character, a new heart. But you and I have been given that responsibility to go out. You know why? Because we're God's proving ground. We share the greatest story in the world, which is what Christ has done for me. Some of us have been the dispossessed. Some of us the dispossessors, and God put us all together. You know why? That's Jesus' plan. It's going to take, you know, three C's. Conviction, courage, and compassion. That's what he wants us to go out. Conviction, courage, and compassion. For those that are sinned against, that injustice, we need to be there to hug, to pray, to point to hope that, you know what, in Christ there is peace. That we will help, we'll walk together through this. For those that are the dispossessors, we need to say, there's a better way, man. There's forgiveness. Come on. Let's pray together. Come and see. Or let's just talk. Let's do something. It's going to take that conviction that Christ is away. Courage to go ahead and be vulnerable and risk. And compassion to feel the pain that people are going through. We don't stand by and do nothing, but we do it one at a time. I want to give money to this great political cause and they'll do this. You know, fine, do that. But I'm going to tell you what. Why don't you start with one individual and help them know Christ? And you'll make a difference there. And that one individual will go and help another person. And they'll make a difference. And that one individual, and who knows, you may end up like Jesus talking to one woman and an entire village responds. That is Christ's method. It was never a program. It was a person with a personal touch. I want to call all of us. I don't want us to do what I'm about to say just so America can be wonderful and all of that. We live in the kingdom of God. I want us to do it because all mankind, every single man and woman has been created in the image of God.
That's right.
Whether national boundary, economic boundary, racial boundary, none of that matters. We've all been created. So what do I want us to do? I want us to renew ourselves
to being the light and the salt. I want us to be out in our communities, and as one heart changes, there's a heart that's taken out of injustice and creating injustice. As another heart changes, there's a heart now to go out and help with compassion. As another heart changes, and on and on and on. But it's only going to happen if disciples of Jesus rise up and do that. Because we don't have a program to offer, we have a person. And that person will transform them. In Him, we have peace. He's our power. He's our authority. He's our judge. And we are His solution to creating peace in this world.